Stuff it hard, stuff it good. Stuff that turkey like mama would. Yummy, 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 I want turkey in my tummy. Yummy, 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 I want turkey in my tummy.
All right, folks. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Wow. Wow.
The I express my feelings of hunger through the art of song and theta.
Wow. The Bottom Raiders holiday hits. I can't wait to see what you guys turn out for Christmas.
You just wait. Just wait.
We couldn't play your song Black Friday on the podcast. We just couldn't do it. This is woo, buddy. I'll tell you. You guys are artistes.
Artistes.
That is pretty amazing. What are you doing, Guru? What are you doing?
Well, I was just eating a pizza and just relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm doing nothing because I'm boring.
Boring.
I'm talking to you on the phone. Boring.
Boring. Now, I'll tell you, it's a crazy week. It's the holiday week here. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, right? It's Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is.
I will be, we were going to go out of town, and now we're not. So I'm here.
Mm.
And, that's that big excitement here. Big excitement. working on baits. Been fishing. Had a heck of a week. Which we're going to talk trolling. That's like, we're not going to go crazy. We're not doing Q&A this week because it's crazy holiday week. But me and Guru are going to talk trolling. And I, not to brag or anything, but it's the reason we're talking about it, is like, especially in the South, anybody that's got any open water right now, trolling is just a super thing. I had a crazy week where I banged back-to-back 50s on nearly the same pass. So, you know, that's the time if you're a southern angler or you're open water, upper, you know, even in the Midwest where you've got some water, it's big fish time for sure. But anyway, before we go there, Tyler, Black Friday. Black Friday.
Black Friday. Buy your Christmas gifts now.
Buy them now. No, it is Black Friday coming up, Gase. You got Black Friday. What's the other one? Cyber something Mondays?
I don't know. I don't know. Whoever. Awesome. There's so many things. I don't know.
You got your Cyber Mondays and your Cyber Tuesday. So I called Jay over there at the Muskie Shop. They got some stuff going on. You know, but watch out, Tyler. Don't repeat what I say in a stupid voice, though, because that one guy that made a comment said we were dumb.
Sorry.
No, Jeff. I don't come to McDonald's and give you hell. Anyway, now that I got that out of my system.
Stewing on that.
I've been stewing on that tomato. I don't come down there and tell you you're burning the fries, Jeff. You're mopping the floor all wrong, Jeff.
Road trip. Sounds like we got a Muskie 360 road trip.
We do to go spit on the floor, Jeff, because he missed us. You missed a spot, Jeff. You forgot to put out the wet floor sign, Jeff. You think that's funny? I think it's funny. Anyway, sorry. God. Sorry. Inside jokes, inside pokes. Anyway, other than that, man, just Tyler, is everything pretty much icing up in your neck of the woods, or what's going on there, buddy?
Yeah, dude, northern Wisconsin, basically closed off. There's maybe a few crazies out there punching through ice with icebreakers, but hard pass on that, man.
Well, if you're brave enough to get on those rivers, I've heard rumor some well-known YouTubers had a heck of a week. That's the word on the street.
Big old fish was caught.
Big old fish. So if you're willing to get out there, man, getting on the rivers, getting on anything that's moving water and open water, it's big fish time. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and just share with you. I called Jay, like I said. Here's Jay from the Muskie Shop. What are you doing, Jay?
Hey, Steve. Not too much. Just got home from work.
Got home from the Muskie Shop.
Busy day at the Muskie Shop today. Busy day.
At this point, you're practically a zookeeper between the live suckers and the possums. You're like the Jack. You're like the
true.
Jack Hanna
of
the Muskie. Where are you going to start wearing all khaki, like little zookeeper outfit?
Possum thing's been pretty crazy. We get a lot of people coming in talking possum. Not a lot this time of the year, but, you know, the occasional person does bring it up. It's pretty funny. It's awesome to hear, you know.
Goddamn possums. But I am calling to see about the deals and steals on the Black Friday. It's bait buying time, folks.
Yep. Just started today. It's Wednesday, right? Wednesday night, for those listeners out there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll put this thing out in a few hours.
Yep.
Thursday morning, but we're running it through what they call Cyber Monday, which is Monday the 30th, I believe.
Ooh.
So free shipping on everything. Great time to get a rod, maybe a shield rod, maybe a St. Croix, something cool. Huh?
Get the big stuff, boys.
Get the big stuff. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. You save a lot of money. Shipping costs these days on the oversized stuff is not getting any cheaper, but tackle boxes, nets, great time for that stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of 10% type stuff on individual companies like
Grandma's.
Biteback, Grandma's.
Grandma.
That includes all the custom Grandma's, all the 13s, the 9s, the smaller ones. Biteback baits, all those trilogy spinner baits and inlines. Red October, all the Red October stuff.
It is about time for tubes.
Got a bunch of other stuff on sale too that's not advertised, but once you get on the website, you'll notice other specials and the shield rods are still on sale.
Yep. You got that.
Can't beat it. You can't beat it with a stick, buddy.
Listen, that's the thing is with the shield rod. If you can get that's the one thing. And whether it's a shield rod or a St. Croix or whatever, with the prices on the rods, if you're thinking about a rod, it's a good deal because I don't think people realize how expensive it is to ship a rod. It's so expensive.
You take a long rod tube to the post office, maybe you want to send a rod to a friend or something for a gift or whatever. And it's like, it's sticker shock when they tell you how much it would be. It's pretty crazy.
You guys, and that's one thing a lot of people don't realize, when you're shipping rods, you guys eat a lot of expenditure on that. And like now you get it for free on this sale. So get yourself a shield rod and a Steve Paul Back in Black hoodie is what I would recommend. I would say that's pretty much everybody's ideal Christmas, would you not say? That's what you want. I've seen that on your Santa list.
Like you said once, it looks mean.
It looks mean. But the cool thing that I've got my eye on, the custom grandmas.
Grandma. Yes, not a lot left.
They're
going quick.
I want a bait called a peepaw.
I don't know what that is.
It's like hillbilly grandma peepaw. That's what you call your grandpa.
Oh, okay. All right.
What if we had a crankbait called a meemaw to compete with grandma?
That sounds like Tennessee. It's got Tennessee written all over it.
Got that throwing in meemaws, but God, sorry. But yeah, get yourself a grandma, get yourself a peepaw or a meemaw. And
if you're interested in shopping at all for Black Friday this Friday week, check out our new website.
I
think you guys were talking about that last week.
I've seen the website a few times in my day.
We both have. That's a lot of work. But for those listeners out there, Stephen and his wife Jody worked countless hours. This is a very long process putting this together.
There's only 11,000 baits.
Switch it on.
No.
Yeah. We're tying in a retail situation, a retail store with an online store. That's what's completely unique.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And demanding that's why it had to be customized so much.
That was
no other stores do that really. I mean, I'm not comparing to Amazon, but Amazon does not have a retail store.
No.
You know, some of the other musky competitors we have out there, you know, quite a few of them do not have retail stores.
Right.
You know, our inventory is coming out of both. So,
oh, it's great.
Yeah, man. You guys did a great job. That so I don't want to get into boring details.
No, it's not boring, but yeah, we all did a great job because the people don't realize the billion hours we've spent on the phone and in person and doing it to get it to work this way. It's like a pain.
Yeah. It's so cool. And there's more work to do. Don't get us wrong. It's not like it's done. It'll never be done. I'll never be 100%. You know, it's just like photos, you know. Photos of this, need better photos of that.
And if people are thinking, Suic, me and you were talking right before we started recording about a gigantic boxes upon boxes upon boxes of Suic showed up. You know, it's
3 o'clock this afternoon. We're wrapping everything up because we got a huge chaos order in today. Mm-hmm. And it was only a partial. It wasn't everything. We got Grim Reaper. We got a couple other smaller things. But, you know, we're working on this big chaos order and generating barcodes for all the product because Chaos Tackle is not barcoded. And, you know, adjusting the inventory as we get it in, put her up, boom, here comes Suic. Huge order. I'm talking huge.
Hundreds and billions of bags.
So, that's another fun little trinket fact, you know, is the amount of barcodes we've had to generate.
Mm-hmm.
People think everything comes in barcoded.
No.
Sorry, no.
You know what? That's actually
worth... The stuff in the store is not barcoded, and a lot of the package stuff is not barcoded. So we've...
that's one
guess
thing.
How many barcoded I've printed in the last 2 weeks,
about
Steve.
70,000, I think, right?
53,000.
53,000. That's nothing, Jay. People just don't... Yeah. I don't think a lot of people that have never been to the shop realize how many baits are on premise. I wouldn't even say in the... on the floor of the store, there's a ton, but, like, there's back catalog of tons of stuff, which is cool. And that's the one thing, if anybody's like, whoa, 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 you know, people have wondered about why musky fishing is so different. Me and you have talked about it a million times. It's just like, you know, with me, like some of the baits that are coming out, we've been talking about, it's like basement baits, but on mass scale. You know, it's an interesting deal. What we won't bore people to death with it, but, you know, it's a crazy, crazy project and something we're always working on, but cool. Well, the one thing is all the apparel's on sale. I know that. Get yourself a beanie. You can get they fit well. I have a big old head. It fits my head. Get yourself a buzz.
All the apparel, even the Steve Paul version 1 back in black hoodie, all its clones
should be,
and different color variations.
They should not be on sale. Mine should never go on. Don't devalue me. My hoodie should be it should cost like $1,000. I'm just saying. But you know, or it can be on sale. Whatever, get it for cheap. Here in an hour and a half, it'll be on the clearance rack, right? So, but all the apparel's on sale. All that. If you're thinking about buying a bait, now's the time. And there's some other stuff coming up too. There'll be other sales, folks.
Oh yeah, we'll have stuff. Yeah.
You know,
there's no sports shows this winter, you know, which is a real bummer for a lot of people.
There's going to be a musky bait show is what I've heard, though.
We're going to put something cool together.
It's going to be nasty.
Top secret.
Just
I'm pumped, though. Steve and I got some good ideas cooking on that bad boy.
Imagine you woke up at 4 a.m. and the TV was still on and you go, what's this crap? That's what it's going to be. Why are they wearing leisure suits and why is Tyler in a dress? But goodness. Well, Jay, cool stuff, man. You know, shameless plug, if you want to buy baits, your wife, everybody's wife, this is the time to buy your wife musky baits for Christmas. You know, they want them. That's what every woman's wants, I think. Get over and buy them. So anyway, Jay, buddy, I will talk to you soon. Thanks for wasting your time with me.
Anytime. Glad to be on. Doing a great job. Love it. Right. And, I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Be good, buddy. Well, that's a pretty decent sell. What do you say there, Tyler?
I know what I'm going to do is buy some baits.
You're going to get them Grammys. Gonna get them like I said with Jay, Meemaw's peepaws. Sorry. No, for real, it's cool. I don't know, and I don't have the inside scoop on this. I don't know if they're doing their gift card sale again, but that's going to be another big one where they do a discounted gift card thing. We'll see if they do it. But free shipping, if you want to buy a rod, like he said, and we were talking about, because if you don't live in a market where you can go buy one of these nets, if you're on the West Coast, I know all you guys over there, the Tiger guys, man, if you need big gear, get it now. Rods and nets and stuff, so you're not paying the oversized shipping. Other than that, Tyler, it's like sort of that weird time where everybody's sort of doing holidays and stuff. And one thing we've got, we're not doing a big Q&A section on this podcast, but we've gotten a ton of emails from people's wives.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming it's all hate mail.
Yeah, it's Jeff's wife. All Jeff's wife.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
Sorry. We're never going to explain this either. I'm never going to tell you guys what that is. But it's funny stuff. Meat Pena knows. You know, Meat knows.
Well, Meat Pena knows everything.
Meat Pena knows everything. But
I mean, I go to ask him a question, he already knows the answer before. Absolutely.
He knew you were going to what you were going to ask before you even asked it. But however, at the app, we've gotten a bunch of people asking about what are good musky fishing gifts, right? And I'm not trying to like shill out for like do this or do that. But for everybody that's asked that question, number one, get the calendar, right? And I know it sounds goofy, but it's really good. We're always talking about writing notes. I do that myself. So I actually have that calendar already, the 2021 calendar. That's a cool like calendar. Or cool calendar. It's a cool gift, you know, because it's actually usable. It has the moon phase stuff. Like, obviously, the app has the specific stuff on there. But it's really good to, like, document your catches and document your stuff there. And as far as other really good holiday gifts for everybody that's been asking, what do I get my husband or what do I get that? 15 headlocks. That's what everybody wants. No, really, the musky shop beanies, musky shop clothes, because there's hardly any clothing in musky fishing.
To be honest, you and me both love that. You have your special favorite sweatshirt.
I do.
And now it's my favorite sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
I love that sweatshirt.
That one's really good. That's the fleece one. Those are really good if you're
– Oh.
Yeah, they're kind of
– Steve, tell the listeners how many days a week you're always in one.
I am actually – I wear that all the time. I actually wear it under my Musky Shop Mineral Fleece Freeze Back in Black Steve Paul Version 1 hoodie. Thank you very much. Sorry. Ooh. Shameless plug. Now, I wore it the other day. That is like a really good piece of on-the-water apparel. I know, people were asking for these holiday gifts. That it is the Musky Shop Sponge Fleece Hoodie Dark Gray Marble / Blue. Maybe we ought to tighten those names up a little bit, but that one is really warm and it actually stops wind, because it's like a fleecy, fuzzy kind of lined deal there. I like that because I'm freeze all the time. I'm like hot blooded, check it and see. But that one's good. Also, the truck decals are a great little stocking stuffer for all the wives that are asking, what do I get him? Get him a hoodie. Get him a truck sticker, get him a headlock, get him a Boilermaker. Can't go wrong with Poseidon's. And like I said, this legitimately have gotten like so many emails about what I get my husband for Christmas or whatnot. One thing is when we get into like, you've got Lee's Custom Sexy Shad, which is a really cool Poseidon 10 that's available. A lot of stuff. There's the custom Jay's Firetail, which these are all customs to the Musky Shop, but those would be a unique gift idea. Other than that, you know, you've got your little knick-knacky stuff, but like I said, keep it with apparel. That's such a great gift because if, like, let's say your husband fishes the Fox River and it's super shallow, I don't think he needs a pounder, and you're probably not going to know that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So do that.
I usually ask my non-fishing family members or hunting family members, say, hey, just give me cash.
Cash. Gift card.
Gift card.
Get the gift.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the gift card. That would be a
if you don't know what to get them, gift card.
Gift card. You know, and they'll probably do something special on gift cards here soon. Other than that, the custom grandmas are cool, like we talked about with Jay. But really, for all you womerns out there asking about gifts or non-womerns, go with apparel. I mean, it's just like, you know. Other than like lines, never bad. I don't know. Disposables. What else, Tyler? I'm really coming up blank here. And like, I feel sort of crappy where you want to go get them this bait or that bait. I mean, you can't go wrong with crankbaits and all that fun stuff. I don't know. What do you want for Christmas, Tyler? That's probably the real question.
What do I want for Christmas? I want world peace. No, I want a muskie bait.
I want raging wars across the planet as long as I get my pounder.
You know me. I like my pounders.
Mm-hmm. I don't care what's going on in Syria. Just get me that Smitty.
To be honest with you, man, it'd be either for me. It's like if I have someone wanting to buy some musky stuff for me, They don't know what I have. I have hundreds of baits. They don't know what to get me. I mean, I just say, dude, just get me a gift card or something like that, or go with clothes, apparel. Sometimes tools. It's actually one thing I like to have.
That's a good thing.
Doubles of tools.
Like I said, for people that are listening all the time, your wives are writing in. They know you use the app. There's so many of them. It's funny. So we're trying. We're doing our best for you. You guys tell us what you want for Christmas, and I will reply to your wives that are writing emails. That is a good point, Tyler. You can't go wrong with release tools, pliers.
How many pliers have you dropped over the side of the boat, Steve?
Dude, I dropped a pair of Nip-X this week. Yes, that was like $64.
That's why I always carry you. I've seen you do it too. We always have doubles in the boat.
I keep double split ring pliers, double jaw spreaders. I have like three sets of everything because you get in the net. That's a good point. I had one of the worst hooked fish this week I've had in forever, Tyler.
Mm.
It hit, it was the second fish on that trawling pass, and it ended up hitting a 12-inch matlock. By the way, the funny thing about that matlock, it was a return.
Oh.
Somebody returned the best matlock on the planet. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
I have tons of matlocks, embarrassingly so. I have... Oh, goodness. I'm thinking that, like, we're talking, that would be $900 worth of matlocks own. That's scary. Wow. So, I'm at the shop, and there's returns. People send baits back to the muskie shop, or whether it be like Joe Booker, that's the same thing we talked about before. Like, people send baits back because they're like, oh, there's a blemish in the paint, or there's a scratch, or it doesn't, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
Jim that runs a muskie shop was so cool. He's like, yeah, man, there's a couple baits hanging up downstairs we can't do anything with. Do you want them? I was like, yeah, of course.
Those are the best ones. They're always the best ones.
I got this matlock. Some dude had beat it into the rocks somewhere. We're talking, he trolled pretty hard on it, and it cracked the finish next to the lip. And I'm talking like a four or five inch long crack on the side of it, just in the finish. And the lip was all banged up. And I was like, yeah, man, cool. Took it, brought it home. And this is a little crankbait secret for you. If a crankbait lip has burrs or chips on it, just take a file to it. I did that. And I put some like 5-minute epoxy just over the finish crack. That bait is bad to the bone. It runs. It's the best running matlock I own, period. It's like, so whoever returned that, thank you. I caught a 50 on it literally the first day I ran it. So thank you for returning that bait. But anyway, that's one of those things. Like, you get these funky baits and they're messed up, or there's something weird. This bait runs really hard. It runs harder than all the other ones, and it walks like crazy. And I'm talking at 3 miles an hour, this thing has a walk of like 4 feet.
Wow.
Yeah, it's spooky good. It's like, oh my goodness. So, yes, please, please return baits you don't like. I will gladly take them. It was bad. But not to get on that tangent, but that's craziness. But yeah, back to normalcy here. Tools are a good gift. Apparel, hats, gloves. You were talking these fish monkey gloves that got cold down here. That's a good gift. Other than that, Tyler, what do you think, man? Them Walmarts want to know them gifts, boys. One more. What we got? One more gift.
One more. Okay. Here we go. Tackle boxes.
Yeah. Hey.
There you go. Lakewoods.
Lakewood.
There you go, man.
Or them flambas.
Flambas.
Flambas. Get you a flambas. Anyway, let's get serious here for a moment. And we're, like I said, all you Q&A-ers, we'll get you next week. Talk trolling for a minute. So one thing that's been going on, if you're, you know, East Coast, anywhere really south of the tundra that the majority of you are on, you know, there's still open water everywhere. And a lot of these states, no close seasons, open water, you know, our Indiana guys, our Pennsylvania guys everywhere, you know, you're going to have some open water. If you're seeing 40s, 50s, all that stuff, it is time to troll. It is time to troll and get on these open water bait fish. Tyler, it's one of those things you've talked about. Heck, even September, you know, in this time zone, what you guys are doing, what is it, September, October, when you guys are doing the open water bait schools?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing it all year round. If mm-hmm. I like see something funky, I'm like, all right, I got to troll mm-hmm. that, and I'll catch something every once in a while. But as soon as it starts getting cold, mm-hmm. temps start dropping, it's like, ooh, baby, I got to troll.
You got to get serious about it, yeah.
You know, and one thing that I've been doing a lot this season that I didn't do last season, I've been trolling a lot in northern Wisconsin with lead weights, like 1 to 2 ounce weights.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, when you troll real slow, you have to let out a lot more line for right. that, for the bait to get down there, and it's like, ugh. Do I really want to reel in 200 feet of line? Not really.
Well, so you can't make turns either, though.
No. You just got to troll one way, reel up, start again. It's terrible. So what I've been doing is I've been trolling with weights so I can troll really slow but with less line out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look now with weights, that affects the, of course, like the trolling charts. Mm-hmm. So what you can do real quickly, if you have a spot that, you know, it's 12 feet here, 8 feet here, 4 feet here, I've just been making rough trolling charts just to go by at certain like 1.5 miles an hour. Yeah. And then you just go like that. And I've been catching fish in October, early November doing that. And it's honestly, that's my preferred method now. Cold water troll.
Absolutely. I mean, when what you just said is like, I just added some new baits on the trolling charts. I got a bunch of numbers in this week. So you got your Chad Sheds, your 22 shorts, your 22 longs are on the app and all that stuff now for you trollers. And, you know, now I have a little bit more time in the evening. It's going to add even more. Let us know what baits you guys are thinking too that are not on there. Pretty much anything that's a crankbait at the Muskie Shop will be on the app here before too long. You know, that's one thing is once we get outside of that, a lot of these trolling charts are 3 miles an hour to 4 miles an hour.
Yeah. And none of them are, they're all weightless, no lead weights.
Right. And so you've got to sort of think about cold water, you know, not cold water, but 50s and down and stuff. How we're going to achieve depth at slower speeds, whether it be, you know, 1 mile an hour to 2.5 to the 3 zone, your baits are going to run higher. And like you said, with the lead weights, but that's a matter of sometimes you have to go out. If you're going to get serious about trolling, you're trying to get dialed in on that trolling bite, is go baits A, B, C, and D are what are looking good. So let's see, a Matlock, a Depth Raider, a Grandma, and a Believer, you know, those are ones you're sort of counting on, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to take some time and find an area to test them for running depth. You know, and like you're saying, as you go, I know where 12 feet is, so I know they're hitting. So you can go, let's take a 2 ounce weight, put it 4 feet up from a bait, or put it wherever in your trolling setup, put it on that line, and then play with depth at speed. So, you know, your particular bait with this much weight is going to hit that depth at X amount of line. And there's so many variables in trolling that no one can create a chart, right? For body.
I mean, not 100%.
Not 100%. So you've got to do that, and you've got to sit there and go, I'm not worried about catching a fish right now. I'm solely worried about exploring running depths and where I'm going to be. And it doesn't take that long, right?
I mean, if you want to hit every speed by like increments of 0.2 with weights and everything and all your baits, it'd probably take you a day of like absolute dedication.
Right.
If you want like super accurate, which that's what I like. I'm a scientist, so I like super accurate stuff.
Right. Right.
Which I'm going to be doing in the future here, with weights and stuff like that. But it doesn't take too long. I mean, I did rough measurements just quickly. Right. I did 4 feet, 8 feet, 12 feet, and 15 feet. Right. That was it. That's all
quickly.
I needed.
And we're going to share that on the – Tyler and me have talked about it. It's a project he's working on. We're going to share on the app where it'll be, you know, depth rater plus 2 ounces. You know, this, that, and that, and the other for those crazy depths if we need them. But, you know, let's say we're going to run – if you're limited on a spread, let's say you're limited in an area where we can do – 2 lines, right? And you're going to run a depth rater and a grandma, and you know, you can play with that to get a concept of running depth pretty quickly, you know, because like you said, if you're doing it in 0.2, right? So we're going to figure out our running depth from 2 miles an hour to 3 miles an hour. So the 0.2 gives us, you know, what, five benchmarks we need to hit?
Yeah, 5 different running depths. So. Right. And then, but with if it's with a 1 ounce weight, 2 ounce weight, or no weight, you're going to have 3 different charts.
Right.
So you have 5 different or 15 different running depths. So you would have to figure that out based on what you want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mostly just run 1 ounce weights.
And that's where we do. I run 2s, but it's a matter of like consistency. Don't run a bunch of different weights with a bunch of different baits either, though. Because
I run 2s too, but if I want to go real slow.
Well, that's the thing. There's a quick tip I put on the app about putting 2 ounces in front of bucktails. You know, and with a bucktail's going to run flat, and running depths on bucktails kooky anyway. You know, speed is highly indicative of what they're going to do, and you know what you're doing there. But these cranks, like I said, taking, you know, but again, you know what I ran into this week were bait schools that were still, the top of the bait school was at 6 feet is all, you know, and that's how I bang this fish. So I wasn't running weights or anything of that nature. And that was just went straight to the app, went boom, 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 set my spread. And I greased them. You know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of like looking at those schools. Which the other thing, and like I said, we've had a lot of trolling questions coming in, so that's why we're covering this material, would be how do we find those fall bait fish, right? And Tyler, we've gone out before and just blindly triangulated bait fish on a lake, right?
We're just like, okay, the wind's blowing in this direction, say west, and there's a main lake point in an island right over there with a deep hole.
Yeah,
they're going to be right there.
They're going to be there. So what we're doing, if you're trying to locate bait fish on a non-reservoir, like a bowl-shaped lake or open water kind of scenario, is look at wind. Like we're always talking about, whether it's trolling or whether it's casting, this will apply. Look at your wind. So if your wind has been I should back this up and sort of something we talk about conceptually about you're always fishing, right? Let's say you get to go out on, you know, you get to go out on Monday this coming week. Well, watch the weather before you get to go out. It takes 5 seconds. And you'll know the wind has been consistently blowing one way or not. And so let's say we got a 2-day or a 3-day wind, right? It's been blowing. What do you say up there matters from the west, right? So,
sure.
Whatever. Yeah. Say it's been blowing from the west for a couple days. Okay. That will be enough to shift the forage base. So you start looking at things that are into that wind, points, humps, any kind of structure that bait will pile on when the wind's there. So, you know, the main thing that, like I said, people are looking, how do we locate the bait? How do we find the bait? First and foremost, wind. right? Then we're going to look at the structure associated with the wind. So I want to determine where the wind's coming from. What is it blowing into? The bait should be adjacent from that. Now, with that being said, let's say current's involved, right? If you're on a reservoir or you're on another body of water, you know, you need to look at the wind, but you also need to factor in the current. Is the current coming against the wind? What's going on there? Is it mitigating that? And then the structure. And the biggest thing everybody's asking right now is trolling structures. What structures am I looking for trolling? Obviously, I'm looking for bait. But if it's not like a heavy forage base, some of these lakes don't have massive bait schools in them. I'm going to be still looking for that same stuff. Those main lake points, places where what forage is available will stack there. And so just being able to triangulate on that quickly, because that's the thing is, like, if you're on, excuse me, a 300-400 acre lake, that's not a big deal. If you're on a big body of water, you can spend way too much time looking. And so thinking ahead and planning ahead, going this structure and this structure, I need to go in there, scan it for the bait before I even drop my lines. And that's something me and you, Tyler, do when we're trolling together. We don't just arbitrarily drag baits until we find what we're looking for. We look for it, go, this looks good. It's forage in conjunction with good looking structure, you know, whether it's adjacent to the basin, whether it's adjacent to a point, whether it's adjacent to a flat, you go, okay, this is worth dragging baits around and through for a while. Which what me and you were always talking about, just even off the podcast, we're just talking, is like time management. You go, don't spend a bunch of hours looking for good situations and slowly going through them. Drive around like a hellcat, find what you need to find, then put the baits down and then do the dirty work.
Yeah, it's just, I when I was young, I spent a lot of time just going, well, I'm just going to throw up this bait here and troll and catch a fish.
Right. Dragging, so, yeah, dragging the leg blindly.
Then you get burnt out on it and you go, man, trolling's hard.
Nothing's happening. Sucks. This is boring. Yeah.
And then you never do it again.
Right.
But if you do what we're saying, is find the bait fish before you start doing something completely inefficient.
Yeah, inefficiency.
You got to be efficient if you want. Especially if this is your first time trolling, be efficient so you don't burn yourself out on it. Because if you're trolling for the first time, I'm assuming you probably really like casting.
Yeah.
And you want to go back to casting.
Well, that was me years ago, though, too. Still.
Yeah. I still prefer casting.
Absolutely.
But there's times where it's like, dude, if we cast right now, we're not going to catch anything. But if we go trolling, we're going to catch something.
My clients that I had this week, listen, if I called them and I said, repeat what I said to you, right? High bright sun, dead flat calm, cold front, right? Kiss of death. I get them on the boat. I go through the shtick and go, all right, guys, let's do our thing, right? We're gonna set up and we're gonna do our thing. And we go through the casting, and I go through Jody's weed while you've been there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, this doesn't look good. It doesn't feel right. And I told him, I said, guys, I said, this might not be the most fun you've ever had, but if we want to catch a fish, we have to troll. What I was seeing were bait fish stacked 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 feet deep, right? Pretty hard to cast at those fish. Now, one thing that some of you guys are sitting there thinking, going, well, how do you make the determination? And Tyler, this is something that comes up all the time. How do you determine whether I'm going to cast or going to troll? To say that there were no fish shallow in the littoral zones on cover or on structure would be incorrect. But you got to look at conditions and go, what is the highest percentile? Statistically speaking, where are the most active muskies going to be? Right?
I mean, certainly you're not going to find an active muskie all by itself where there's no bait fish around it.
Well, I mean, and some guys do, though.
Some guys do, yeah. Yeah,
but muskies don't play
by the rule book. But it's like you're going to find a fish that's more willing to eat
if he's
by his food.
Yeah, if they're stacked near and around bait. So, you know, the call that me and the clients made, or I made and told the clients, I said, listen, what we're going to do, we're going to troll and we're just going to give it hell and try our best and try to make something happen, you know, under the worst of conditions. You know, it's a late fall, cold front, awful looking. And you know, once you find those bait stacks, it's a matter of going, you know, Mena said it one time on here where he said that the you know, muskies are never that far from the kitchen, you know, and so you go, the forage is there. If there is a hungry muskie, this is where he should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it took about, I'd say an hour to contact the first fish, right? Came through, actually fouled two baits. I turned like an idiot. And guys, if you're new to trolling, guess what? Everybody still does it. You know, I screwed up and turned too tight. Had a little bit longer line on a tough shad out. And it fouled around my depth rater, and I picked it out and said, all right, we're just going to do the pass again. Made the pass again. Saw the fish on the finder, believe it or not, which is a rarity for me because I'm rarely not watching marks. Counted it down, and it was six. I clicked my fingers. Tyler, I'll send you the clip. It's actually sort of funny. I made six clicks with my hand. Boom. And he whacked it.
Nice.
And it was just picture perfect. Open water bait school. Here's where we're marking it every time. And that's one thing I should say. Every time I made a pass and I was on the perimeter of that bait school, I dropped a fresh waypoint on it. Right. And I'd watch this bait school move maybe 50 yards. So with each drop of that waypoint, I knew, hey, they're sort of shifting over here to the left. So my next pass around, I made sure I was going a little bit more to the left, you know what I'm saying? Trying to stay with them as best as I could. And, you know, coming through that bait school and you just sort of dial the speed in and you go, bang, there's a fish, right? Get that thing out of the net. Oh, sorry, I started the story about a bad hookup is what it was. And I got off on the tangent of that bait being returned. Remind me, Tyler, about how bad that hookup was because we're talking mm-hmm. tools. But however, you know, you come around and I'm marking that open water forage, keeping waypoints on that stuff as you go. Because sometimes, like, you'll make a pass on open water forage, and it's not quite right. You know what I'm saying? You're seeing the tail end of it, or you mm-hmm. just see a blip yeah. of it, opposed to staying on that main, like, stay on the main focal point of that forage. Run those baits through it, under it, around it. You know, and like I said, I had a successful trip where I went two fish on and one fish lost. And it was grim. And that's why I'm telling you guys, if you're on open water, get the trolling set up. Stop being scared of it. We talk it all the time. And the point I would make about this is like that intro. You know, and Chaz Martin just did a really good vlog, and we and you both watched it, you know, talking about basics of trolling and talking about all this stuff. But you covered it where a lot of guys will just go, let's flip a bait out the side of the boat and drag it around. Yes, that will work, but get smart about it. Get strategic about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and where you're going to do it, right? The one thing me and you talk about all the time would be, if the fish were shallow and they're not showing up shallow, they're not going to be that far from where they once were either, right?
No, they're not going to go swim 10,000 miles.
Right, so come on. Getting out on that first break and all that stuff. You know, I'm sorry. I'm rambly. It's holidays. I got to jump in the car, do all kinds of stuff. I'm going to sneeze. Oh, Tyler, man, do you know what that's from? Don't you?
What was that?
That is wood dust. That is from a
wood dust
secret project. I'm falling apart here live on
secret
out there sawing boards. But, anywho. You know, one thing we talk about all the time, like we said, about finding those bait schools. Let's say we're on a non-reservoir, like a bowl-shaped lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of bodies of water that our listeners fish on, they don't have, like, the craziest structure. You know, I can think of one in Ohio that's very much just, like, blah. What? You know, it's like, he's for real. And the guys that know that lake, and I've talked to you guys, some of you through email and stuff, and we're all like, yeah, there's like, bleh, there's nothing. You know, there's like, bleh. Would be figuring out throughout the course of the day, if you're looking for those pelagic bait schools, is looking at the sun angle too. Sometimes, like, where the sun's at, those bait schools will just be right in line with that. So that's another thing just to throw out there. Tyler, take the wheel for a second. I'm smattering on here. What's some other just, like, general trolling or this late in the season trolling stuff you can help everybody out with? Because we're just getting asked so much. Just take it for a minute on some trolling stuff, man.
I mean, I know I've talked about going slow with trolling this time of year, but it actually does help to like vary your speeds. I was recently talking to one of my friends who was trolling on Green Bay, like two days ago. Really cold trolling. He caught a mid-40s fish trolling at like 3 miles an hour. I mean, basically what he was doing, thinking about it, what he was doing, he said he was varying his speeds. And we're discussing it on the phone for a while. And I'm like, so what were you doing, man? He's like, well, we were going at like 3 miles an hour. And then after a couple of minutes, we dropped down to like 2, then 1.5, then go back up, then zigzag, go back up. And it's just kind of varying your speed and when you turn, like turning in a zigzag motion, because like when you turn right, say like the left side of the left bait will speed up and the right bait will slow down, kind of stuff like that. And just kind of being not boring. Like you're going to catch fish just trolling slow and not doing anything. You will catch fish, but you will trigger more fish if you can add a little like, ooh, jukes. Like pizzazz to it. Yeah. Like a juke move.
Juke move.
Box hero. Juke move. Yeah. Like it.
No, that's true. It's like
if you just throw in a double whammy out of nowhere, like hello.
Yeah.
Just, you might get somebody that's following
to commit. To
eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing is like I said, the clients this week were we multiple clients were commenting, and it's like, you know, it's like I'm driving the boat drunk. That's the joke. I'm out there swerving like, rawr. I don't have a tiller, so I'm actually just bouncing the wheel around. You know, I just put my hand on it and sort of just make sure that I'm doing little quarter turns the entire time to elicit strikes. I can't tell you how many times when you're actually turning a corner that fish hit. It is just so like. Every time I go into a turn, I tense up a little bit because you go,
here we go. Yeah.
And it's always turns like, again, another quick tip I get talking about this and showing a visual example of this on the app of like, you know, duck and dive, making the baits rise and fall. And you know, those outside baits are coming up and they're going down. Because if you troll just straight, like steady Eddie, like I'm on the break line, I refuse to get off the break line, you know, nothing's going to happen. You'll catch fish, but it's not going to be as many because just like casting, you get follows. You just don't know they're there. And the best thing Booker told me one time is when you come over something interesting, whether it be an interesting mark, an interesting piece of cover, you know, forage, start thinking there's a fish there behind the boat, right?
Juke them.
Just, you know, put a little move on them with the boat. And to me, it's, you know, is it as exciting as making one eat in a figure eight? No. But it's pretty cool to go, oh, he ate right when I did that move. Right? You go, you triggered that strike. The other thing, and we got like so many, like I said, trolling. I'm trying to cover everything here. Was drag settings. Okay. When it comes to the drag settings on trolling, I do not want the reel cranked down.
I have a great story about that.
Lay it on me, baby.
Some listeners may know about this. Remember when I lost my rod?
Mm-hmm.
You want to know why I lost that rod? I had just gotten this rod. The jury's still out on that.
The jury is still out there. It won't take them long to deliberate. We know what that verdict will be. You're dumb. But that continues.
30-minute verdict?
30-minute verdict. They were in there eating crackers. They went, oh, yeah, we know the verdict is, but let's make it look like we deliberated here.
Anyway, I had just got this my new shield rod, a 9-footer, from the Muskie Shop, and I'm like, ah, oh, this rod's awesome. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna put this new reel I haven't used in a while. Put it on there. I'm gonna troll with it, catch a muskie, and you know what happened? I never checked the reel, and dun dun dun,
Nah.
I never. The drag was winched down for like casting. It was like a casting drag.
Yep.
So like, there's a difference between trolling drag and casting drag. Trolling drag is a lot looser compared to casting drag.
Uh huh.
You know what I'm saying? Because you have the force of the boat going one way, and you have the force of the fish going the other way, and then you have a guy yanking on that fish. That's a lot of force in one direction.
Right.
It's kind of. Any physicist listeners, you can think about it as like vectors.
Right.
One vector is greater than the other.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, I had my drake winched down too tight, and you know what? I hit a crib, and that crib did not give.
No.
I'll tell you what.
They rarely do.
They rarely do. Sometimes they bring up a crib. I watched with my own eyes my rod break the rod holder in half and fly out of the boat at like Mach 7 and then sink like a rock. I did get the rod back though.
You did.
Get the rod back.
Well, that is the patent pending Steve Paul crap ton of bucktails dragging on the bottom trick. That or the metal stringer.
Yes. Guess what? I have one of those in my boats now.
I recently bought some from guess where I bought them from, Tyler?
The Musky Shop.
Bought some of them Phobies. Is that how you say it? Is it Phoby?
Flobes.
Flobe. I think it's Phoby.
Man, I don't know.
Flobe. if it's called Flobe, I don't want to talk about it. I'm pretty positive Jay said Phoby. Or Flobe.
Well, now guess what? Everyone's gonna make fun of me because I call it Flobe.
Well, it's like I can't. It's all.
It's
like,
a flobe.
Like
it's
all these
flobe now.
Wonderful, Wisconsin
you
places.
See my flobe?
Check out my flobe, baby. The Phobies, those are strong. Those are moist, strong. Yes, they're pretty tough. I've not had any incident with those. We had 1 week there where three of us broke Scotty's. No joke. That's not a joke. Jay's neighbor Steve, I know he listens. I talked to him on the phone one time. He broke one too. We're just like, ugh. So that goes to show you have a strong rod holder on the boat. Don't go with the Walmart specials, especially you guys that are the basic trolling conversation I would have would be good rod holders. You don't have to have line counter reels. We've said that a billion times. A guy, one of the questions we did see this week about trolling, he's going, I don't have line counters. How can I calculate line easily? A Sharpie? That's a good way.
Yeah.
I mean, before you leave the house, get a measuring tape and count out 20 feet and mark it with a Sharpie. And then count out 30. And then count out 40. Or whatever depth you think you might need, and just put a tick on the line. It'll hold for the day if you need it to. Another thing I've done plenty of times, most of us know the length of our boat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you go, if you got a 17-foot boat with a 12-inch leader on, you go, okay, my leader's at the back of the boat. I'm standing in the front. That's close enough. That's 19, 20-ish feet. That's a good cheat. The other way, they make the little clip-on line counters. I've used those. They're like really cheap, couple, $10. Clip it on a rod, and you pay out line. I'll tell you. The other trick for guys without line counters is metered line. If you want to go that route, I know like Power Pro makes it where they have line that is
different colors,
in different increments. That's a good way. But again, you don't have to go haywire with it. Just you got to get in that game. And this is why we're harping on it. And everybody's asking you, go, this is when you better be in the game. If you want to connect with big fish, you want to, make as many trips successful as possible. Because my fall game plan is this. Check shallow in the morning. Check shallow in the evening. The rest of the
time. Why is that, Steve? I know the answer with thermodynamics.
Right.
Thermodynamics, but
mean the hydro Well, I mean it's warm up, cold up. Low light periods, fish are moving in, bait fish might move in the evening as things are getting darker, it's warming up. But a lot of these like days. You run into the winter. If you want to catch a fish, it's going to be low and slow. You're keeping those baits in the quote-unquote strike zone more often than not when we're dragging them around. So other than that, Tyler, the only other thing to cover, because we've rambled on a bunch here, we'll do some more trolling stuff. Me and Tyler are actually working on a structure video as requested. And we both got holiday stuffs because, you know, we're trying to get this done for you. And the other thing, happy Thanksgiving, I guess. We did have a contest.
Oh, what was that?
It was to name Pat Menard's dog.
Oh, please be something good, like a sentence. Come
the
on.
The best I
Come
got,
on, give me
the
a
one
sentence.
The one that made me laugh was Kevin. Kevin just said whack. He wants him to name his dog Whack.
I like it.
Whack. Whack Menards. Anyway, that would make me giggle. Folks, have a good holiday. Me and Guru will come back at you full throttle next week. Talk to you later.
We want turkey. We gotta get that gravy.